Good morning, Trinity.
We welcome each of you here to Trinity this morning. We'd like to have you be aware, both our members as well as our visitors. There's a couple of cards. The pew racks in front of you, they're yellow and bluish color. We'd like to have you feel free to fill those out, and by doing so, it'd be an opportunity for you to let us know if you have a prayer request. And on the other card, it's an opportunity to let us know that you're here with us. If I could have you reach out across the aisle and welcome one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Hello. I'll come to you. Good morning. Morning, Brennan.
You can even shake the pastor's hand.
Yeah. How about that, Anna? Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Pastor.
Good morning. Good to see you. Good morning. Morning, Don. Good morning. How are you doing? Good to see you. Good morning. That's a long reach. Morning, Linda. You know him? That young man back there? Do you? Please stand. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your notebook is on the desk there. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them. and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the stead and the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus be with you. Let us pray together. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading comes from the Second Kings chapter 2. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah and Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from forever, from over you? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he answered, yes, I know. Keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men and the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let there be a doubling portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went on by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one that they had seen or what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. from the dead. Here ends the reading of our holy gospel. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson of Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. I invite you to follow along. The pew Bibles are in front of you, and there's sermon notes inside of your weekly bulletin. And also, if you care to look up on the screens, that's another way. 6 days, our text tells us later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he brought them to a very high mountaintop by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth could whiten them. This was Jesus' inner disciple of circles of disciples. You know, those who went on the top of the mountain with Jesus also were the ones who went to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Most likely there they prayed as well. His garments became bright. His appearance was changed. There was nothing like this that the disciples had ever seen. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses. Now, as they were talking with Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. And they were terrified. Now, I think it's interesting for us as we look at this text that Elijah and Moses, you will remember, are 2 Old Testament characters, and that God had buried Moses sometime on a mountain overlooking paradise, promised land, the promised land that Moses had led the children of Israel to. Moses was not allowed to go in because he had not given God the glory when he struck the rock and the water came out. Elijah, we are told in this Old Testament lesson, which we just read, was taken up by God in a whirlwind. You might say that Peter, James, and John were separated from them, and that Moses and Elijah were a long time gone from the face of the earth. And you know what amazes me about that? As you start to look at this, Moses and Elijah are here on top of this mountain on this day with Peter, James, John, and Jesus, and they are very much alive. You know, this tells us a lot about our God and the fact that he does raise from death to life those who fall asleep and are believers in him. Moses and Elijah are alive. There was a friend of mine, a pastor, who was the one who installed me coming in off the golf course. He had his cleats on. He took those off. I was thankful for that. And he had his cutoffs. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it, Doug. The robes are going to cover it." And then he said, before we got going into our installation service in Montana, he said, "Just let me ask you one question. Did you wake up in the arms of Jesus today?"
Ron would always ask everyone he talked to. That was the first thing he would ask. And I remember the day when one of our circuit counselors called and said, Ron woke up today in the arms of Jesus. And so as you and I start to look at this thing called death and life, we start to see that there is a life after this thing we call physical death, and that God promises us that. And here atop this mountain in Moses and Elijah, case one and case two, we see that God gives life. Peter knows also that he was able to look at them and to talk to Moses and Elijah as they were talking to Jesus, and he calls them out by name. Now, perhaps it's because they were wearing the handy-dandy Trinity name tag, but I don't think so. Hi, my name is Mo. You know, I don't think it said that. So when we start to look at what was going on, not only is heaven a place where we see life after death, we also see the promise that God is going to give us special information for us to have a lot greater, wider knowledge. Where Peter and James and John, here atop this mount, were able to identify Moses and Elijah by name. As you and I start to look at this, Jewish scholars also believe that the presence of Elijah would certainly be the ushering in or the announcement of the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And as we recall that we would start to see that John the Baptist had come in the spirit of Elijah, but Elijah here this day was certainly a time to usher in the coming of Messiah and what he would do, especially when we find out what they were talking about. Moses, you would have to say, was a bonus for us here atop this mountain, because one of the important elements is that Moses is the one identified easily with the fact that he had led the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage, out of Egypt. And Moses was the one, after all, that God had given the Ten Commandments to atop Mount Sinai. Moses embodied the journey of God and his children. Moses and Elijah were present in the here and now, though, with Jesus. And Peter, James, and John, as they looked at Jesus and they heard the words and they talked with Jesus themselves, wide-mouthed, Peter, slack-jawed, exclaims, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. You know, you and I probably have very little we could ever compare this to, but maybe just to stretch it, we could ask you, who's the most famous person you ever met? And if you start to think about it, if you were standing in their presence, wouldn't you be one who didn't want it to end? You just wanted it to go on, to be there and to soak up all their presence, to hear their every word. And to be standing in the room because they were there. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, Moses and Elijah, we find out what they're talking about specifically. And in the Greek text, it says that Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about the Exodus, Greek word Exodus, which would be accomplished for Jesus in Jerusalem. Think with me, if you will. Moses' exodus allowed the children of Israel to be freed from slavery to Egypt. Jesus' exodus would allow the children of God to escape and be freed from slavery to sin, death, damnation, and the devil. In Egypt, there was a Passover lamb that allowed all who stood behind the door for the lamb that had been slain, that the blood was shed upon that door and over that. It was a signal, a sign to the angel of death to pass over this house. There were believers here. In Jerusalem, we find that there's another spotless Lamb of God, one that would be sacrificed upon Calvary's cross. We see a God who would take away the sins of the world for all who stood beneath the blood of Christ, all that which had been painted over on the cross beams of the doorway of the cross, you might say, and all who believed on what Christ had done and accomplished there. Standing in the shadow of the salvation the Son of God gives us, and the angel of death passes us over. We're told in this transfiguration account that then a cloud overshadowed them. You could say it enveloped them. And a voice came out from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And at once they looked around and they saw no one was still with them anymore except Jesus. Not only had they heard this divine discourse from the Heavenly Father that said, "This is my beloved Son," they'd heard of what Jesus was going to accomplish, his exodus in Jerusalem. I think this text is very fitting for us here at Trinity. Aren't we told to listen to Jesus as he invites us to a mountaintop experience in worship, where our names are called through for the waters of God's grace, where we're splashed with his grace and declared to be his children? Listen to him as he feeds us upon his body and blood in bread and wine. And he says to us, "Take, eat, and take, drink. This is my body given unto death for you. Your sins are forgiven." Hear and worship as you come to offer your prayers and your concerns. God is at work talking with you, and he's asking you to listen to what he's sharing and teaching you as well. And the habits of a Christian, we start to see that we pray, we meditate, and upon bended knee, our answered prayers are begun to be answered even before there's one word that is dropped from here to the tip of our tongue. God's already at work answering them. We meditate upon God's word and we study God's word. And here we listen to Jesus. We listen for what he's teaching us and telling us. Here in worship, we start to see again the work of God is in our life speaking to us. As atop the mountain, we are brought into the presence of God. And as we leave today, we'll go out into this world to witness who this Jesus is to us. We're here to serve our fellow man in the name of Jesus. And in stewardship, we offer unto God all that he has given to us, just that portion back that says, "Thank you, Jesus." And like Peter, we want to say, "Oh Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good, O Lord, for us to be here as we come, placing our sins before your feet. It is good for us as we study your word and you show us the way. It is so good for us, Lord, to be here as we offer up our praise and sing your holy praise. It is good for us to be here, O Lord, as we lay at your feet our concerns, our worries, our sins, our shortcomings. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here together as the people of faith." Desiree and I were talking last week about the cloud of witnesses that for nearly a century have been in this building, singing praises unto God, hearing what God was doing, and hearing and knowing there were prayers and concerns offered before the throne of God's grace and mercy then, and how God got them through those times, those troubles, those situations, those concerns, and how he helped them, and how he's still at work helping us. Like them, we too say, "Oh Lord, it is good to be here." In the Gospel of Luke, Christ mentions that he would suffer, that he would die, that he would be buried, that he would be scourged, and that he would die, but on the third day he would rise from death to life. He mentions that 9 times before the end of Luke. before we see that he is indeed raised from death to life. He foretold it. He tells the disciples all that was going to happen so that they might know what was going to happen before it did happen. Our word of our Lord, our word of Scripture tells us that we will live even though we die, yet shall we live again. He tells us that our sins are forgiven and that nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And yes, Jesus, the one who came, is the one who told us God so loved the world that whosoever would believe on his name, that's you and me and the whole bunch of folks from the world all over all time. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Yes, Lord, it's good to be here. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you for the invitation for us to be your children and to be numbered amongst those who are believers. Like your disciples, you have chosen us and called us to serve you, not just only to be saved, but that you've sent us out for this very purpose. Oh Lord, we thank you for inviting us into your presence as we were brought through the waters of holy baptism. We thank you for inviting us into your presence, oh Lord, as we celebrate Holy Communion here. We ask, oh Lord, that you would allow us to be strengthened through these mountaintop blessings of standing in your presence, of seeing your glory and splendor, and joining you in the company and benefits of heaven itself. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we pray for our church and our school. We ask that you would bless our activities around the D.C. Washington trip, that you would allow and provide all that is needed for that. We ask your blessing to be upon our principal, Dr. Brockberg, and upon all of the staff that support his work and the work of our church, for reaching out into this community and teaching and training young children in the ways of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we pray that you would also be with Patty Moser and all of her teachers as well, as she teaches and directs the Child Development Center. May you bless their efforts together to train up young minds into the ways of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, be with our congregation here at Trinity. We pray, O Lord, for the decisions that lie ahead regarding the Magnolia Building, that you will give us wisdom in the directions we take to reach this community. May you help us to focus upon that which is our signature ministries and allow us to serve you boldly as we reach out through the gospel messages of our church and school to serve you and to be bold witnesses in this community. Lord, in your mercy, be with the congregations of the Florida Georgia District and of Orlando, and as we meet here with the Orlando circuits east and west, may you bring your spirit and blessing to be upon all who will gather as pastors. May you bless them in their time and service unto your name, we pray this. Lord, in your mercy. And now we hear the prayers petitioned for us this day.
Congregation brings the following servants with special needs, those with particular health care needs. We pray for Sharon, who is suffering from complications from cancer. We pray for the great granddaughter of Pastor Glander and his wife, who doctors suspect may have cancer. We're praying for Carolyn Merrick, who has been hospitalized, had surgery. We're hopeful that she will be able to leave the hospital soon. And for Ed Estes, who is also healing from cancer, and for Keith, who is to undergo heart surgery tomorrow. We pray for each of these individuals, Lord. Please heal all of your servants, if it be your will, but give all of them comfort and their families comfort during a very difficult time. We also pray for comfort for the family of Doug Getzlow, who passed away suddenly this past week. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We now pray that prayer, O Lord, you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those who trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy Lord God.
Our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had supped, he gave thanks for it, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you drink this cup, do you not participate in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. You may be seated. You have, it's his first communion or helping? Okay. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. So they removed one of the announcements from the first one was about the breakfast that was served, but it was fantastic. So between a car wash and this breakfast that the 7th and 8th graders hosted is helping to fund their trip to Washington, D.C. It was great. I got there early and I had a really good breakfast. So the next opportunity, please take advantage of it. It was really good. So Trinity supports a local ministry called iDignity. The ministry itself helps homeless individuals get the paperwork so they can live their begin to form a semblance of life around having a driver's license, social security card, whatnot. We support this ministry in many ways, even by they occupy one of our office complex over in the Magnolia building. During an event, there are hundreds of volunteers who work with these individuals to help them get their information. Trinity is sponsoring the meal for these volunteers in an upcoming event. There are buckets at the exits where you can put a few dollars in or a lot of dollars in, whichever you prefer, to help support that luncheon, to help that ministry. Besides being Valentine's Day, this Wednesday is also Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. We have a Lenten series happening at Trinity with services at 12, 10, and 7 p.m. starting this Wednesday night. There are cards, I guess that's the next announcement, but what the heck. There's cards in the narthex that you can use to let people know about our Lenten messages. And it's really easy. You don't even have to say anything. You can just hand them a card, and the information is on there about where to learn about where to come and when to come. Also, starting at 5:30 in the cafeteria, we will be having a Lenten soup dinners prior to the service. So I hope to see you all there on Wednesday night, starting at 5:30, and then we'll come over to the service after that. And finally, I'm going to bring Pastor up here because Julie and we had a cottage meeting here yesterday, and I was off playing doing something else, and he was actually here. So I think he can talk about that. But what I do know is the sign-up sheets are in the back. We're going to talk to all of you because our goal is to talk to 250 people on a small group setting. So you can either get signed up now, or we're going to call you and harass you to meet with you. So you might as well just get signed up to participate. But tell them about the meeting, please.
It was an excellent meeting, and Marcy said she wants to come every Saturday. So if you want to join her just for one of them, we're going to be having these. They're not all on Saturday. Some of them are on various days. But you'll see in the back various hosts at various places, some of which are in their homes, others which are in the church fellowship area. And a few moments, what we have is food, fun, fellowship, and talk about Trinity's future inside of 120 minutes over 6 questions. It's a lot of fun. We hope you'll join us. We hope you'll sign up. Those sign-up sheets, again, are in the back. God's blessings. Please Please join us by standing for our closing hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.